We began the show talking about the PGA, addressing Brooks Koepka, Webb Simpson, connections to caddies, family members, withdrawing because of coronavirus concerns, Graham McDowell. PGA will go on. They have protocols in place. They will follow them just like the NBA with their positive test. They will go on as scheduled right now. Major League Baseball has their deal. They will report on July 1st at Major League ballparks in America, begin their summer training July 3rd, 3 weeks of that. And opening weekend will be July 24th for that 60-game 2020 schedule. I like that for the Tigers. I'll take baseball. I put the huge question of the day out at Huge Show on Twitter, the Huge Show on Facebook. Are you excited to have baseball back? I am. 54% said they were. 46% said they weren't. I'm excited about it. I'm starting to feel sports, but also the COVID-19 coronavirus conversation is as hot as ever connected to sports since we canceled sports back when all this began in March. And there's this big media push about the spike in cases in Florida, Texas, Arizona, California, and other spots. And a spike in cases in Lansing. Spike in cases down in St. Joe along the lakeshore. But when you look at the numbers that were released at 3 o'clock this afternoon at the State of Michigan offices in Lansing, 323 daily confirmed cases from yesterday, and the fatalities dropped from 11 to 4. And the testing from one day to the next, Monday compared to Tuesday, was 5,000 more yesterday. So you will see more positive cases. That has been the theme from Dr. Ed Cornolia, who is a sports doc and family physician for Metro Health, the University of Michigan Health. And he's been our medical insider for over a decade. And he's been with us from day one of the COVID-19 coronavirus outbreak here in Michigan and across America. And he is standing by live on the Metro Health Sports Medicine guest line. And Dr. K, I know we've always talked about this week-to-week conversation, but man, this week, there's more connecting sports to COVID-19 and coronavirus than I can remember since everything was shut down.
Yeah, you know, it's been an interesting week. You know, like we've said all along, we got, you know, follow the numbers, follow the trends. And even me, who was fairly optimistic, you know, some of those numbers that we're seeing coming out of Florida and Texas and California are a little higher than we'd like to see. Now, there's a lot of different reasons for it. Some of it is testing, absolutely. And some of it down in Florida, you know, you probably saw this too and maybe talked about it, the age, the average age of those testing positive now has dropped into the 30s. And so the good news in all this, and even what happened in Lansing, we know why this is happening, right? So we know that the cases are going up because there's more testing and people are getting it and people aren't social distancing as they should. And it's still a small, small number given the grand, you know, total people who live in the United States of America that are infected. But certainly that trend up, it makes making decisions about high school sports in particular and college sports that much more difficult when things are trending back up. Even if at the end of the day, medically, the death rate continues to drop. And again, we'll have to watch that because that's what they call a lagging indicator. And this may go up after the cases go up a week or two. But certainly with the younger, more healthy people getting sick, it appears to be more of an exposure issue. And we've talked about this. As people get together, there will be cases. It's not surprising that in the college setting there have been cases. But it makes people who have to make decisions about safety, it makes it harder for them to be able to come out and say, hey, we're going to get back together and, you know, do high school sports in the face of these rising numbers. Like you pointed out, in the state of Michigan, we have continued to see a downward trend. You know, notwithstanding what, you know, happened in Lansing and so forth, the numbers continue to go down. And again, we know that social distancing, physical distancing, wearing a mask works. And I think some of these states, it's a combination of things, and those numbers are going up. But even more than I would like to see them go up.
Well, speaking of numbers, when you look at the COVID-19 death rate by age, and this is from June 23rd, which would be yesterday, if you look at the age group 5 to 17, okay, that would include a lot of high school kids, 0.03%. Okay, that's 5 to 17. Flu is 0.01 if you would compare that, the same age group, 5 to 17. If you bump it up to 18 to 29, the death rate in America from COVID-19 is 0.1, which flu has a 0.02. Now that's a COVID-19 death rate. Now if you take it up to 30 to 39, it becomes 0.3%, which would be right in the ballpark of flu versus COVID-19 death rates. And then when you go 50 to 64, 2.9% on the COVID-19 death rate in America, 10.4%, 65 to 74, 20.8%, 75 to 84, and 85 plus. The COVID-19 death rate is 30.1%. Wow.
Absolutely. And that, that's been become more and more clear as this has gone on. And that's why, for many of us, acknowledging that there is never zero risk, real, frankly, of doing anything, but certainly related to COVID, as you pointed out with the numbers, and even that number, doesn't break down, but even go 25 and younger, you're right, it's going to be a low likelihood that something bad happens. Not zero, but certainly, like you said, in the realm of other infections that we acknowledge and we try not to have people get, but we are also okay with kind of continuing life through. And absolutely, that's why, for many of us, again, we have to acknowledge that risk is not zero. There are going to be infections, and when there's infections, even if it's a young person, there can be a bad outcome, but it's so significantly lower than, the older population that's why trying to make it work, it makes sense. If the numbers were the similar across all age groups, or it wasn't that different, from young to old, you would have a very strong case to say, we really can't be doing this. But it's such a, such a disparity between the young and the old that it seems worthwhile to try to figure out, can we sort of do the right things to keep everybody safe, acknowledge those who are at the greatest risk, which is going to be parents, grandparents, coaches, that type of thing, and really try to see how can we let the young people do what they like to do, do what's healthy for them mentally, do what's healthy for them physically. We know people do better in school when they're active. And so you have to take these all into account when you're making decisions. It can't simply be we don't want to have COVID or we're okay having COVID. No one should be having that discussion anymore. No one's okay with anybody getting COVID. No one also should be okay with having to live our life in fear, because we have a lot more data now. We know who to protect and we know how to protect. And so now these decisions need to be made with lots of information and acknowledging the risk, but it's not a COVID or not COVID type of thing anymore. It can't be looked that way when you're trying to reopen things in sports.
That's why when I look at the data here on the COVID-19 death rate in America, and I've watched Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, hey, we're going to the bubble in Orlando. PGA commissioner Jay Monahan, we're going to continue as normal. Travelers Championship this week, and also the Rocket Mortgage Classic in downtown Detroit next week, because I believe, like Governor Whitmer and the schools announcing face-to-face learning, Michigan State, Michigan, and other schools, colleges, and universities in Michigan and across America doing that when you look at the probability of not getting sick, and we're not wishing COVID-19 on anybody, but when you look at the probability of dying from COVID-19, the fatal chance of you dying, that you begin at 5 to 17, which would cover most of the high schools, at 0.03%, even lower than the flu rate in that age group, 0.01, 18 to 29, 0.03, or 0.3, excuse me, from 30 to 39, 0.9, 40 to 49, and you get 50 plus, and you basically have about 65 and older is a big part of the fatalities in America because of COVID-19, and that doesn't connect to athletes. I know it does to coaches and teachers, but it doesn't connect to those students or those players. And I think that's why, while we hear about all this rise in cases, Dr. K, we're also hearing about, you know, schools returning, sports getting ready. So it's kind of a mixed message. It is.
It is. And, you know, we've talked about this before in other situations. It's easy for us, for people, humans, to sort of try to, you know, kind of compartmentalize things. It's like a yes or a no, or it's a go or it's a not a go, or that we're going to make the decision on this one factor. But you nailed it. There's multiple factors that have to be taken into account. And the thing that I'm most encouraged by is, well, I think our people giving us the information, the media has done a poor job of trying to lay out the facts, lay out the whole story, and just grab the headlines because they know that's what people will click on or will turn to. People making the decisions, administrators, you know, even politicians to some degree, for the most part, appear to be trying to balance everything. Even some of the states that my dad still lives out in California, and so I talk to him a lot, and my brother lives out there as well, his family. And, you know, certainly that was a state that was, for some, you know, period of time, Michigan and California were among the most restrictive in doing things, and they have opened things up. And they are seeing a spike in cases. But again, the population in California is tremendous. But at least even that, you know, those politicians there are really saying, you know, we have to balance this out. We have to look at the good and the bad that comes with staying closed, because there is bad that comes with staying closed, and the good and the bad about opening up, because there is good and bad. And so I'm glad to see that many people who are making decisions are trying to say, look, there's no perfect solution here. Whatever we do, we know we're gonna affect some people negatively. We have to try to take everybody that we're in charge of, whether or not it's a league or a state or a, you know, high school athletics, and say, what do we do to make the best decision for everyone possible, or the most people possible, acknowledging that there's no perfect solution, and try to make those decisions. And that's what at least it looks like, you know, decision makers are trying to do. And you're exactly right. It's not what we're hearing. We're not getting the full picture from any media outlet. And it doesn't matter what direction they're coming from. You're just not getting the full picture. And that's unfortunate.
You know, I wish, like, the state of Michigan, with their new cases released every day, 323 daily confirmed cases, 4 fatalities, down from 11 fatalities yesterday. Cases, like I said, are up around 120, but 5,000 more tests. So I wish, as they're showing the daily confirmed cases, whether it's Michigan and across America, that you would show the rise in cases compared to the rise in the number of tests that were administered.
Yeah, that's a much more important number right now. And you'll see in some places both of those are going up, but you'll see in many places like Michigan that the percent positives are actually going down. And that, you're exactly right, is a much better number to be looking at now that we're doing as much testing as we are.
Now, some will say, okay, younger kids like at the bar in Lansing test positive. The stats I just read show that they don't have a great chance of dying, but others talk about that they could take it home or to a cottage to an uncle, a relative, a mom, a dad, a grandfather, somebody they come in contact when we hear this asymptomatic. Explain that, Dr. K.
Yeah, and the question is how contagious is somebody like that? But basically, if somebody's sick and they're coughing and they're sneezing, and you've seen commercials on TV that show how far, like if you cough and you sneeze, your plume of germs and your breath goes. And so obviously if someone's ill, doesn't matter what they're ill with, but if they're ill with a contagious disease and they're coughing and they're sneezing, they're putting their viral particles all over. And so you can easily come in contact with them. If you have someone who's asymptomatic and you know to sort of stay away from them, you know to say, hey, I'm not going to, you know, we're going to hang out in different rooms, or we're going to sleep in different beds right now because, you know, this you're sick. When someone's asymptomatic and they don't have signs that they're sick, yet they are still carrying the virus, then we call them asymptomatic carriers, meaning they have virus in them, but you can't tell. And so you don't know, hey, I'm going to stay away from you, or, you know, make sure we're washing hands. And which is why it's important right now to almost treat everybody like they might be sick. And that's why the physical distancing is important, and then the masks and the washing of hands, because you don't know who is sick. Now, the reality is while someone can take and make someone be sick when they're, you know, asymptomatic, it's much less likely because, again, because they're asymptomatic, they're not coughing all over the place. They're not sneezing. They're not spreading the virus near as much. And likely, if they're asymptomatic, the amount of virus that somebody has is probably lower than someone who is symptomatic. And so while it is possible and probably does happen that someone who isn't symptomatic can pass it on to somebody else, it certainly is not, it's much less likely. And so while we have to acknowledge that and understand that, and which is why we sort of pretend everybody has it right now when you're doing things, is you really have to acknowledge that the likelihood of that is much, much lower. In fact, I've had people who we've tested positive, a spouse, they tested positive for COVID. We know they have it. And then we test the spouse a couple weeks later. The spouse did not get sick, but they were obviously in the same house. And once they found out that the other was sick, they did socially distance or physically distance. And the spouse never got it, and their antibodies never became positive. So we know that even if someone's sick, if you do the right things, you're not necessarily going to get it. And that's why when we see these cases go up or we see a restaurant where people get sick, we know that, unfortunately, they had the opportunity to socially distance or physically distance and they or wear a mask, and they didn't do it. So it is unfortunate when you see this, but it just reemphasizes the fact that I can be in a room full of people who have COVID, and if I stay 6 feet away from them and I wear my mask and I wash my hands when I'm done, there's a good chance I'm never going to get it.
What about the pro sports leagues? I mentioned the PGA Tour is dealing with a mini outbreak, some positive tests. The PGA Commissioner, Jay Monahan, they're going to continue Travelers Championship, like I mentioned, Rocket Mortgage Classic, and the PGA Tour comes to Detroit next week. For golfers, for a caddy that tests positive, so Brooks Koepka wanted to be sure and safe and err on the side of caution, which I think we've done pretty well as a state and as a country since early March. What effect could that have to the point where if you are a commissioner, okay, whether it's Rob Manfred and baseball now agreeing to that deal and they're going to start up with summer training camps on July 3rd. They're going to do their testing July 1 until July 3rd, figure out if they have to quarantine anybody. Season will start July 24th. The bubble in Orlando, you get these college workouts. Some schools, K-State, shut it down for 2 weeks. Houston, shut it down. What's the point as a medical professional, Dr. K, that you would tell a sport or a team enough, you need to end your workouts now? Where would this COVID-19 need to go with that particular team or league?
That's a great question. And we actually myself and our residents spent the last 2 days doing a little research on that. And there's nothing, again, because this is such a new virus, there's no current recommendations that everybody's following. My own personal feelings on this is that if we have, because we've had even you know, locally things pop up like this, if someone tests positive, we've told the team to quarantine for 72 hours, do symptom checks, see if anybody becomes symptomatic. If no one becomes symptomatic at that point, you can have resume not together activities, but some activities. And then the big question is, how long do you need to wait to before you get back together? 7 days, 10 days or 14 days. And I'll be honest with you, we don't have an answer to that. The safest course, particularly right now, given high schoolers and the high school level and for summer, is probably to go 10 to 14 days before you get back and do a lot of things together. But we don't know the answer to that. But if someone's symptomatic or has a positive test, I should say, and the people they were close with, like teammates, quarantine, self-quarantine for 72 hours, no one gets sick or anybody isn't sick, there's a good chance that they're not going to get it at that point. So, but the problem is then if like you said, if it, on a PGA Tour or in a baseball league, if one becomes two, becomes four, that's where, and I'll be honest with you, you can probably ask 10 different epidemiologists and physicians. You might get 10 different answers as to what the number is when you need to pull the plug. And that's why I think you just have to take each situation differently, look at the risks, look at the age level, look at who might come in contact with them, and everybody's going to be treated just a little, you know, or not treated differently, but each situation is going to be looked at a little bit differently.
I said earlier when we were previewing your appearance, and by the way, Dr. Ed Granolia, a sports doc, family physician, our medical insider, joining us from Metro Health, the University of Michigan Health. If you want to find out the latest on safety protocols and everything connected to COVID-19 and the coronavirus, go to metrohealth.net. That's metrohealth.net. I was talking about the PGA Tour. It was when we started the show, and we talked about Webb Simpson and Brooks Koepka's caddy testing positive. That if a big sports name goes critical, or a high school kid who was working out, you know, socially distanced workout at a Michigan high school, that's when you just immediately would shut it down. If somebody quickly went to that ICU critical with COVID-19, that's when you shut it down and you say until further notice, kind of what the NBA did with Rudy Gobert, where they didn't know where this disease was going back in early March.
Yeah, and obviously that's an example. None of hope happens, but you're right. When something like that happens dramatic, it's going to make everybody take a step back. I'll be honest with you, from a medical standpoint, whether or not someone gets it and gets, you know, sick right away and gets real bad right off the bat, and someone else doesn't, but it's only the one each of those people that it happens to. The likely scenario that even though it's different and it's obviously one example is going to be much more extreme and much more notable news-wise, medically speaking, is probably similar. You know, they both got COVID from somewhere, and we have to figure out where it came from. And that's where the other thing I didn't bring up is, if testing is available, and again, it's going to be different in different settings, but if testing is available, you could also test, you know, after 72 hours, you could test the team again. And some college settings are likely going to have that opportunity, less likely in the high school setting. But after 72 hours, you could test and see if they're are positive. And again, a negative test doesn't mean you can't get it, but it means if someone was exposed and within 72 hours has had a negative test and has had no symptoms, again, the likelihood of them getting it from that previous person is not very likely.
Still a lot of unknowns out there. You mentioned you and your residents are trying to look at when's the right time to shut it down, bring it back, when you're talking about the colleges and high schools and pro teams at Metro Health, the University of Michigan Health deals with. Still a work in progress.
It is. And the hard part for almost all of us is it's going to be like this probably for the next, you know, several months. And that means at least into the fall and perhaps even into, you know, 2021. And that's why I think way back, you know, it seems like way back, and I guess it was at the beginning when, you know, people were trying to make predictions and stuff. It's always very difficult because no one wants to make a prediction wrong either way, meaning, you know, obviously I'd rather err on the side of caution, but it's hard for me to sit here right now and say there's no way we can play football this fall. We should just abandon all hope. There's also no way that I can say, don't worry, we'll play for sure, because this is evolving. And I think we talked about before, I kind of look at things in 2-week increments and see where are we in 2 weeks. Now, this 2 weeks, you know, kind of that we're coming towards the end of here, we've seen that at least one of those weeks be an uptick in cases. And now what we have to do is see, does that lead to more deaths? So far, it has not, and more hospitalizations. In Arizona, I've been kind of looking at those numbers. There have been more hospitalizations in Arizona, maybe not to the proportion of the new cases, which is why a lot of people are less sick, but there has been an uptick in hospitalization as well. And so that's why some of the states, and you have to really look state by state or even region by region to see what's going on. But you're right, this is going to be a work in progress. It's going to be, you know, things are going to change and sometimes have to change quickly. Certainly at some point you have to get to a point of no return where you might have to say, hey, look, a league or a season or a sport won't be able to go just because even if things improved in a couple of weeks, we just don't have time to get ready. But I just caution people to really look too far ahead and try to make predictions one way or the other. Plans, absolutely. You have to plan for scenarios, plan for sports happening or not happening. You have to have contingencies going on. But then you just have to, unfortunately, kind of roll with it and take it on a, you know, every week or every 2 week basis and see what's changed. And then what does that mean for the plans that you've made?
I want to talk about our final segment after the timeout. Good stuff here, Dr. K. And we'll see about the likelihood of all these sports that now, including Major League Baseball, have these plans to return high school. Our high schools, plural, are going through these summer conditioning programs. Mark Huell, their executive director of Michigan High School Athletic Association, he says the last week has concerned him. So we'll get to that next. Okay, my friend?
Sounds great.
Let's go continue our conversation with Dr. Ed Cornelia, sports dog family physician, Metro Health, University of Michigan Health. He's been our medical insider for over 10 years since day one, also of the pandemic, still in place, impact on sports. Dr. K, the one bridge we haven't crossed yet that I referenced earlier, and I know the UFC has done it, that might be the only physical body-to-body contact sport, but NASCAR, obviously, and race cars alone. PGA Tour, you can social distance to a point. Why a lot of us were able to play golf earlier than doing other things. Baseball, not full contact, but, you know, the NBA, they seem awfully concerned. The players, I think, more than ownership right now about going to that bubble in Orlando. How do you feel as a medical professional NBA is doing?
Yeah, you know, trying to look at it from the outside a little bit and get, you know, getting the information that I can from the news. I think it's is the risk greater than something like, certainly NASCAR, golf, and even baseball? Yeah, absolutely, because there's going to be more close contact. I think the benefit of a sports league like the NBA is that they're going to be doing a lot more testing. And as you can see from other sports, it doesn't mean you can't get it, can't come in from the outside, and even in Orlando, the players and coaches and families will be in a bubble, but you'll still have others, you know, coming into that bubble and out of that bubble, that, you know, who are working on the property there and so forth. But I think there's every reason to be, I would say concerned is the right word, but be mindful and watchful, because you can't completely go into a bubble and not have anybody come in from the outside. But I think with the amount of testing that they're going to be able to do, I feel confident and comfortable participating, knowing again that the age demographic and so forth is one that is even if you get sick, is less likely to have a significant outcome, a bad outcome. There is going to be testing. Now, that doesn't mean there's zero risk, and that's why I think, I can't fault somebody for saying I don't know if I'm willing to take the risk, because it isn't going to be zero risk. But I think that there is every reason to think that they're doing everything they can to make the risk as low as possible, acknowledging that it will never get to zero.
Football. Would you say cautious, concerned, optimistic, or optimistic, pessimistic, that high school, college, and pro football will be able to play come August and September?
You know, I think it's probably a little bit different for different levels. I would say more optimistic for the professionals, again, with testing and the ability to do some sort of thing to make it less likely that someone becomes infected. And then a little more cautious when it comes to college, and then even more with high school, just because it's all going to be about how much risk schools, administrators, state governing bodies, parents, students are willing to take. And that, again, it's not going to be zero. And the question is, if it's your livelihood and it's something, it's your job, you know, just like it's my job to go into a physician's office every day, the risk is not zero. It's probably higher than other places, because I am coming in contact with patients who are ill and that type of thing. And again, I'm not saying, you know, being a physician and being a football player are the same thing, but if it's your job, just like people who are going to meatpacking plants or going to, you know, build cars or that type of thing, you're more likely to say, I've got to, you know, lower the risk as much as possible, but it's important to do. And if it's something that as important as college sports is, and I'm a big proponent of college sports, I have two college athletes in my family and high school sports, it gets harder to say the risk is worth it the lower you get. And so that's why I think I am a little more cautious than maybe I was. I'm going to say pessimistic, but less optimistic than I was a couple weeks ago. it doesn't mean it won't change. It doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's just, I think we all have to be a little real about, you know, hey, where we are, we've got to watch these numbers.
And you would say that's at the college and high school level for football?
More high school, you know, college would be next. Again, colleges are just difficult because they're adults, but they're still, you know, they're traveling from different places, and they're still, it's not their job. I know they spend a lot of time doing it, and it might as well be their job, but it's different than it, when you're a professional, no matter what you are. So I think it might get more optimistic going from high school to college and college to pro, but it's not, certainly none of those I don't think is a guarantee.
Dr. Ed Cronolia, he is great at what he does. He's a sports doc, family doc, metrohealth.net. Click on sports medicine if you ever have a sports injury need or question in regards to COVID-19, metrohealth.net. Just click on sports medicine. Dr. K, thanks for your time on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll talk soon. If I don't chat with you next week, have a great holiday weekend.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it. And everybody stay safe out there. That physical distancing is working, so keep it up.